Hi, everyone. Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast with another Big Idea of the Week episode. Big Idea of the Week episodes are where I share a thought, a distinction, or an idea that's radically transformed my life for the better. Today's topic, five bogus reasons. Five bogus reasons we hide our talents and gifts from the world. If you're listening to this podcast, you are someone who cares about expansion. You've probably been investing in your body health, your mental health. And when you feel good energetically in your body, and when you feel good in your mental health, you naturally want to make the world a better place. You naturally want to step into your talents and gifts, and you start asking yourself different questions. You start asking, how can I use these talents and gifts to make the world a better place? How can I use my unique talents and gifts to leave an impact in the world? Now, anybody who's doing something big in life, and big, again, is relative. It's all about big for you. It could be starting to put yourself out there more on social media around a topic that you care about. It could be starting a side business or a business that's out there. It could be stepping up in a nonprofit or a faith-based group that you're part of. Anybody who wants to do something big and put themselves out there is naturally going to run up against this idea of, should they expand or should they contract? Should they expand and continue to put themselves out there, or should they contract? And when it comes to contraction and hiding, the most important thing that I want to share here with you is that everybody, I cannot remember a successful person that I've encountered that has not dealt with the feelings of contraction, the feeling of, should I hide? Now, when they deal with these feelings, what I've seen them do and what I do in my own life is they question these feelings when they come up and the assumptions and the beliefs behind these feelings, and they're willing to sort of imagine it like a massage practitioner. They're massaging these areas of their life to really give them love and attention so that they can break out of the feeling of contraction and continue to put their talents and gifts out there in the world. So fundamentally, first and foremost, everybody goes through this feeling. If you've ever wanted to hide, if you've ever wanted to hide your talents and gifts from the world, go read the biographies of people you look up to, and you'll see that they encountered that same fork in the intersection where they had a choice. And this was repeatedly throughout their life. We don't have to just make this decision once. They repeatedly throughout their life came to a fork in the road where they had to decide, do I want to expand or do I want to contract? So I've taken the top five reasons, bogus reasons nonetheless, but again, we all deal with them, so they're real, but they're still bogus. We got to dissect them and work through them. I've taken the top five reasons that I see people contracting instead of expanding. Reasons or excuses or beliefs that they have that gives them the reason to pull back from the world, to hold off on sharing their talents and gifts from the world. Now, before we go into the first one, there's one other thing that I want to say. And that is this. If you are hiding your talents and gifts from the world, and you want to make the world a better place in only the way that you can, if you are stuck in this pattern, I want to give you both the love and compassion, but I also want to give you a nice little kick in the ass. And the kick in the ass is this. It is selfish. It is selfish of you to put your own insecurities ahead of the ability to impact the lives of other people. Selfish. I'm saying it first right here. You are being selfish if you are putting your insecurities ahead of your desire and ability to better impact the lives of other people. And you needed to hear this right now. Again, love and compassion are all beautiful things, and we need both. We need the, for lack of just conversational purposes, for lack of better terms, let's call it the masculine and the feminine, right? And by no means does this mean, you know, male and female. It's just the masculine and the feminine approaches that are there, the yin and the yang, that is the duality that's part of life. So the feminine approach is the love, the care, the tenderness. And we need to have that. We need to have that when it comes to these areas, and have some sense of self-compassion. We've done a lot of episodes on self-compassion. If you're interested in one, we did one with Kristen Neff. It was fantastic. Dr. Kristen Neff. You can listen to it. We'll put in the show notes. So that's beautiful. We need that. But we also need the kick in the butt, the kick in the ass that reminds us, like, put your big boy pants on, put your big girl pants on, put your pants on, get up, drink your coffee. It's time to take on the world, because it's not about you anymore. It's about making an impact. So if you are stuck, you need to hear maybe both of those approaches. So I already gave you the first approach, which is everybody goes through this. We're all working through this. Have some compassion for yourself. And the second approach is get ready, because it cannot continue to be about you. The world needs you to show up in only the way that you can, and stop being selfish. Stop putting your ego. Stop putting your ego ahead of your ability to impact and make the world a better place. And here's what I mean by this. You know, one of the best definitions of ego that I've come across is by Eckhart Tolle. And he says, ego is identification with form. What does that mean? That means that our ego is when we identify with form, something that is not our true self. For example, let's say somebody had a super fancy car, right? Really top of the line model, Ferrari. And having a Ferrari is not having an ego, right? Just because you have something in your life, you have a nice house, you have some material possession, that in itself is not that somebody has an ego. Ego is when we think that that thing, which could be a material possession, could also be somebody who has a very top degree and thinks that that degree makes them better than other people. Now, what they've done is they've identified with external form. What is the form? The form is the external thing. It's the BMW. It's the degree. It's the whatever it is that's out there. We think that this thing that we have, quote unquote, makes us better than other people, superior than other people. And we think that this thing is us. Look, you can have a nice car, but you're not your car. You can have a nice car in your life and it feels good to drive. You can enjoy it. You can take your friends on a joyride. And you can also recognize that the car is not me, right? The reason that I'm breaking this down this way is that when we put our ego can attach to a lot of different things, the same way that our ego could identify as, I'm a better person than everybody else because I have this top of the line car. We can also do that with our insecurities. Our ego can protect itself by saying, I'm not good enough. Believing that I'm not good enough is the same thing as your ego attaching to, I'm better than everybody else because I have this car, this degree, this other thing. So I think that's important to mention, because when you get attached to your ego and your ego's identity with something, an external form, even if that external form is a belief that I'm not good enough, now we're putting our ego's belief and our insecurities ahead of our ability to make the world a better place, to impact the lives of other people in only the way that we can, through that business, that idea, that nonprofit, that leadership position, that community service, whatever it is, writing that book, starting that podcast, putting ourselves out there. Stop being selfish. When you do not step into your talents and gifts into the world, you are being selfish. All right, now that we got that out of the way, I think it's time to jump into the 5 bogus reasons we hide our talents and gifts from the world. Let's go into 1. We feel like we're not ready yet. This is a big one, and something that I've gone through in my own life, especially as a young entrepreneur. Have you ever felt that you're not ready yet? You're not ready yet, even though you have these talents and gifts, and even though you want to make an impact, there's a feeling of, I'm not ready yet, right? And I think what I want to do for all of these 5 that I break down for you is I want to turn each one into a question. One thing that I look at when I look at my successful friends, and when I say successful, I don't just mean externally successful, I mean internally successful. There's a sense of ownership of their talents and gifts, and regardless of how much money they make or their external success or what they've accomplished in life, there's a sense of equanimity inside. They're happy, they're content, and they're putting themselves out there even though they have had these ideas, like some of these ideas that we'll cover in these five bogus reasons. So what I've noticed from these individuals is that they're willing to question their beliefs. So often when we say we feel like we're not ready yet, one of the beliefs or the questions that I see people asking themselves is, am I ready for this? Now, the challenge with am I ready for this, if that's a question you're asking yourself, is our mind, which operates, our brain has its own default neural network. We've talked about it on many podcast episodes, but it's basically, it's our pattern. It's our default mode. It's the way that we see the world or that we were conditioned to seeing the world from a young age. And it continues to expand a little bit, but the base of it is set in our early years and that continues into our adulthood. Now, our default neural network tends to look for our past as reason for predicting the future. It looks to the past and says, have I done this thing before? No. Okay, it's dangerous and scary, so I don't know if I'm ready for this thing. So when we ask, am I ready for this? We activate that default neural network, that default mode, to look to the past and look for examples of whether or not I'm ready for this thing, whatever this thing is that you want to do. The challenge with that question is almost all of us are never ready yet, quote unquote, for this next opportunity. How could we be? If it's something new that we want to do, it's not something that we've done before. Even if we've had a little bit of practice and dabbled a little bit, the tendency is when we ask ourselves, am I ready for this? We're going to look to the past and we're going to say no. So when you ask yourself, and there's plenty of people that talk about this more eloquently than I'm talking about it on the podcast now, when we ask ourselves, am I ready for this? The tendency is to drive our brain in the wrong direction. We are going to naturally go towards no or be more conservative. That's why we want to question the question. When we question the question and we come up with a new question, we end up putting our brain to look in a different way. We end up focusing its attention to look in a different direction. So if you've ever felt that you have asked yourself, am I ready for this? Or that you feel like you're not ready yet, here's a different question you can ask yourself. Does the world need this? Does the world need this? And I'll say a secondary question to that. Am I excited about this opportunity? Am I excited about putting out this thing? Now, even sometimes when you say, does the world need this? We can say, I don't know. But if we objectively look at this, and this idea, this company that we want to create, this nonprofit, this whatever it is that we want to do, this book we want to write, if we objectively look at it, and even if it wasn't you writing it and it was somebody else putting it out there, would you think it was a good idea? Would you be excited about it? So that's why you want to ask that question, does the world need this, from not your lens, but just does the world independently need this? And chances are, if it's something that you're excited about, that you're motivated about, that you want to put out there into the world, the answer is going to be yes. Otherwise, you wouldn't be excited in the first place. So does the world need this independently? Is this something that the world needs, even if it doesn't come through me? Would you think that it's a good idea or message or approach that the world needs? That's a different question. It drives a different answer, and it helps you break out of this idea that you're not ready yet. You'll never be ready. We'll never be ready. Even sometimes when we are ready, when we have the pedigree that's needed for a particular role or opportunity, even then still people who have that pedigree deal with the sense of imposter syndrome. So even people who are on paper ready still can feel sometimes that they're not ready. And again, this is why I love biographies, is that you read the biographies of people you look up to, you see that they've gone through this as well. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. And they still went into it, or life thrusted them in that direction. Number two, let's talk about the number two bogus reason we hide our talents and gifts from the world. We think we have nothing original to say. Oh man. So many people go through this, especially if you're in the health world and you want to do a health business or put out health content. I can't tell you how many times I run into people or I get text messages from folks saying, I want to make an impact in this area. I have my own unique story that I've been through, but I don't know, everybody's already saying it. There's already been books written on this topic. There's other people that are already doing this type of business. I even go through this with very educated doctors who have an incredible formal pedigree and have incredible patient experience. And they feel like, well, people like Dr. Mark Hyman and other people that are out there, they already have talked about this. I don't think I have anything original to say. And so often the question that comes with that is, why does everyone else have it figured out? It's why does everyone else have it figured out is often a question I see people ask when they are stuck in this idea that I have nothing original to say. If you feel like you don't have anything original to say, that means that you're putting yourself on a lower pedestal and you're rising everybody up on a higher pedestal, and you think that they have it figured out and you don't. So what's a question that we can use to change our frame of thinking on this? Well, do I feel excited about sharing this in only the way I can, right? So do I feel excited about sharing this? Forget about what everybody else has to say or what they're saying. Do I feel excited about sharing this? Because the truth is that all of us, with our unique background, upbringing, our gender, our the city we grew up in, the languages we speak, we have a perspective on the world that other people don't. And anytime you have a unique perspective in the world, which we all do because none of us are living the same lives, anytime you have a unique perspective on the world, you have your own twist on your talents and gifts. So even if you think your talents and gifts are similar to other people's, that's fine. That's been the case since forever. Nobody's inventing anything original, right? It's all remixes, so to speak. So even if you feel like you have nothing original to say, we have to realize that that's not the focus. It's, do I feel excited about sharing this in only the way that I can? Because if you do that and you start off small, you'll naturally find your own voice, which will be your original way of putting things out there. Let's jump into number three. Number three bogus reason we hide our talents and gifts from the world: we're worried about criticism. We're worried about criticism. It's a very real worry. On the African plains, the African Sahara, where our humanity originated from, criticism was, and how our human brain developed, criticism was very much something that we were very present to. And back then, you know, we evolved in these small tribes together. And maybe in our lifetime, we'd run up against, you know, few hundred other people. But now we're interacting on social media and other places, we're interacting with thousands of people that are in our larger ecosphere. And it's a connected world. So on the African plains, on the Sahara, in these small tribes that we grew up in, we naturally paid attention to a lot of criticism, and we were very focused on what if people don't like me, because if we got banished from the tribe, no human being could live out there in nature, fighting off attack, fetching water, hunting. It was very difficult to live completely on your own, if not nearly impossible. So we all feared this idea of being ostracized. If the group didn't like you, you'd be kicked out. And if you got kicked out back then, kicked out meant death. And as we've heard from many past guests and experts on the brain and neuroplasticity and all these other topics that are related to this, as we've heard on past podcast episodes, today's modern criticism can feel like that to us. When we're putting our talents and gifts out into the world and we're worried about criticism, there's a part of us sometimes that fears that, what if people don't like me? And if they don't, that means, even though we don't think of it consciously, that ultimately means death, so to speak, right? That's wired into our biology. That's why we want to question the question. We want to question the beliefs that we have so that we can start to use our modern brain, our prefrontal cortex, to drive a different focus. So if you're asking yourself, what if people don't like me, right? That's not a great question, because it naturally has your body and your brain imagine the worst. So a different question is, am I ready for adventure? And I'll add in a second part, am I open to growing? Because let's look at it. If you do anything amazing in life and you put yourself out there, you're going to get positive feedback and you're going to get negative feedback. We tend to pay attention more to the negative feedback that's out there. Our brain is sort of wired for criticism and wired for the negativity bias. We've talked about that before on Big Idea episodes. So we're going to get negative feedback, quote unquote, negative feedback, and we're going to get positive feedback. But if you're open for the adventure and you're committed to putting out your message and your talents and gifts, we have to realize that that comes part of the process. It just comes part of it. It's part of it that you're going to get all sides of it. And if you looked at it objectively, then you really have two categories. You can grow from positive feedback. People can reaffirm to you that they really liked this thing you did. Like, I get messages, hey, that was a great episode. Amazing. Okay, awesome. That's good. I'll keep that in mind. Maybe I'll do more like that in the future. But you can also grow from negative feedback. And in two ways. If it's just straight up trolling, which, by the way, if you look at my YouTube channel and you look at comments on my different interviews, YouTube is a perfect example. YouTube and Twitter is just filled with a lot of nonsense. More so than I would say Instagram and other social media apps. But Twitter, YouTube, because they're so expansive and they're kind of open, people chime in on all sorts of thoughts. They might disagree with an interview or they feel like I cut off a guest, and they'll say, this guy's the worst interviewer ever. Okay, great. So how can I grow from that, right? When it's like a trolling. First of all, people are entitled to their opinions. But number two, I grow because I don't take it personally. Maybe that person had a bad day. Maybe that person was hangry at that moment and left it. Maybe they just got the divorce notice from their wife. And who knows what drives people to leave their feedback. And there's this great quote by Byron Katie that I always think of. And it's, what other people think about you is none of your business. So where it's people in my inner circle, people that I trust, people that have a good intention, are sharing things, and even if it's negative feedback, that want to help me grow, amazing. I want to learn from that. I want to be a better person. I'm not too attached to thinking that I'm the best person in the world, that I can't grow. And then when it's trolls or other general criticism that's out there, should you be so lucky that people are doing that, right? That they're finding your work and they're even taking a moment to criticize you, you can learn and grow from compassion. And then, of course, from great feedback, everybody loves great feedback. We can always get a chance to enjoy that, celebrate that. But additionally, stepping back into the conversation of ego, we want to make sure that we don't identify with the positive feedback. Because the more you identify with the positive, it's one thing to take a compliment and say thank you so much and see that and recognize how much hard work and effort you're putting into any project that you care about in life that embraces your talents and gifts. But when you identify and you have a higher sense of self, that you think of yourself as better, what goes up must come down. So when you identify with the positive, you tend to identify also with the negative. And I want you to be in a place, and I want me to be in a place, where there's this equanimity. We do what we do because we're driven towards it. We learn from the positive feedback. We learn from the negative feedback, but we don't put anything on a pedestal in one direction or another. We don't put anything above us. We don't put anything below us. And that's a lifelong journey. There's a lot of books that have helped me in that process. I've recommended The Power of Now, A New Earth, both by Eckhart Tolle, Do I Need Your Love? I Need Your Love Is That True by Byron Katie is another great book. Landmark Forum, which is an education program that also Dr. Gabor Mate recommends, I've talked about in past episodes. These were all very helpful things to have me develop a sense of equanimity and not detach, but actually just understand that my ego was focused on the wrong thing. So anyways, this episode isn't about that, but just a thought that I wanted to toss in on the topic of criticism. What if people don't like me? Let's shift it. Am I ready for adventure? And am I open to growing? Because people won't like you. Some people will, some people won't. More likely than not, it's going to be a lot more people that do like you than are against you, and you can grow from all of it. So criticism, we want to embrace it, that we should be so lucky that people criticize us. When you aren't getting any criticism at all, chances are you're not doing anything big. You're not doing anything big. And again, big is relative. You're not doing anything out there that's pushing the boundaries a little bit in whatever space you're in. So I hope that you have criticism. It's a big part of the journey, and it shows that you're having an impact. Number four bogus reason we hide our talents and gifts from the world. We plain old think we're not good enough. I started the podcast with this idea of people have this belief sometimes that they're not good enough. And if you've listened to any of our past episodes, we have another one coming up this week. Next week with Dr. Nicole LaPera, we talk a lot about how early childhood experiences can shape these beliefs and can set you up in a place where you just, whether you realize it or not, your subconscious has believed something that's not true. So anybody that is feeling that I'm not good enough, it's just not true. If we cut you open like a cadaver and we looked inside of you, we wouldn't see that you're not good enough. Your body would look like everybody else's body. And so there's nothing innate inside of you that's broken, no matter what you've gone through. And even if you've gone through some really difficult challenges in life, you know, my heart goes out to you completely. And I feel a lot of compassion for that. And those experiences were real, right? Trauma, big T, little T, those things are real. And you're still good enough. How do we know? Because you are. You are. You're living, you're breathing, you're here, you're functioning. You're good enough. So you're good enough to take your talents and gifts to the next level. But when we believe that we're not good enough, and the way that we ask ourselves this question is, am I good enough? If you ask yourself, am I good enough? Whether it's your subconscious asking or your conscious asking, then you're naturally going to drive that default neural network to look to the past. You'll think about every failure you had. You'll think about all the times that you feel in your experience you weren't good enough. And there's a lot to dissect there. And if you've had a really big life, I mean, I can't recommend finding an incredible therapist to support you on the journey and doing a lot of things that we'll be talking about in our interview with Nicole LaPera. There's a lot of things that you can do on your own too. To untangle them a little bit and go deep into it. But one way to start shifting it is to ask a different question. So if you're asking yourself, am I good enough, which is naturally going to bring you to no, or I don't think so, you can ask yourself, am I committed to making an impact? It's not about being good enough. A lot of people, if you looked at them on paper, who've achieved incredible things, started companies, movements, organizations, changed politics for the better, changed environmental policy and advocacy. A lot of those people on paper initially, you wouldn't think that necessarily that they were going to be the person to do it, but they had that drive. Because why? Because they were committed to making an impact. It wasn't about them anymore. Taking our attention and focus and energy away from the selfishness, which is connected to the ego, and now focusing on the outward making a difference. Am I committed to making an impact? Who cares if you're good enough? Which, by the way, you are. It's not about you anymore. It's about, can we make an impact? And by the way, impact is also, for some people that's listening, maybe that's just getting out of a really shitty job situation you're in. Or maybe you're even unemployed right now, and it's about finding full-time work that actually is an honest living, and it makes you excited, and it takes your family in a different direction because you're able to provide for them. All this is relative. For you, that might be big. And that's a beautiful thing that should be celebrated, because it's very hard in life to do a lot of other stuff when you don't feel good. If you have a particular, you know, job or you want to be working, it's very hard to feel good when you're completely stressed out or you're not making enough money to provide for your family and yourself. So are you committed to making an impact? Are you committed to making a difference in whatever way is relative for you? If you are, we want our attention to focus on there. So anytime we come up with, am I good enough, or I'm not sure I'm good enough, we switch it and we say, am I committed to making an impact? Which is this thing important to me that I'm doing? Yes. That is your drive. That is your fuel. All right, number five. Number five, bogus reason. Again, these are all real reasons. We all deal with them. I've felt every single one of these reasons. So you felt them too. We're all in the same boat. This is the human experience. But they're bogus because they're not true. And it's also, you got to come up with catchy titles for the podcast to get people hooked at listening in the first place. But I hope it isn't clickbait and you're finding some value in what I'm sharing today. So number five, bogus reason. We hide our talents and gifts from the world. We're afraid of our excellence. We're afraid of our excellence. We're afraid of our light. We all have a comfort zone. We all have a comfort zone around us. We all have our own definition of our upper limit of how much we feel we deserve in our life or how much we feel we can give to other people, grow. We just have a limit. And sometimes we get pushed up against that limit. We think we're not deserving. We think that even though there's something internally that knows that we have these talents and gifts to make the world a better place, to impact our own lives, to help other people, to put out products and services and businesses that actually make a difference in the world, to start a nonprofit, to take a leadership role in our church or organization, even though we all know that we feel intrinsically in our gut, we have that gut feeling, right? Our gut is our second brain, so we often talk about a gut feeling. Our gut, our nervous system in our gut is as powerful as the nervous system in our brain. So they work together. So we can have a gut feeling that we are capable, but we can also have our brain that feels scared. Scared of our ability to shine. And I think that, you know, ultimately on this topic, the question that I see a lot of people asking is some version of this. When you're afraid of your own excellence, you start asking this question. And that question is, what if they see the real me? And sometimes it's also talking about you. What if I see the real me? Because if you are showing up in your excellence, in your talents and gifts, in whatever way you want to, and you start detaching from the news and negative experiences, you start being more discerning on the people that you spend a lot of time with. You still have the friends that you had from growing up, or you still are friends with the people that complain a lot, but you might be spending a lot more time with the people who don't. Or you might not know who to spend time with, and then you have to go and find new friends. That can be scary. Whatever it is, we're breaking out of our comfort zone that we know. And anytime you get away from the comfort zone into the unknown is scary, even if we know that the unknown is magical. Even if we know that it's all going to work out. Even if we know that we have these talents and gifts and the world needs it and we're excited about it, it's still scary. So that scary unknown, even though intrinsically in our gut we know it's going to work out, that's the fear of excellence. And it's the fear of being seen, not just by others, but by yourself, and breaking out of that comfort zone. And really, how is my life going to be now? How is my life going to be if I fully show up? That's a little bit scary for some people. And I would turn that question into, am I willing and open to seeing my light shine? Right? Now, this might be a little fluffy for a lot of people, especially if there's, you know, dudes that are listening right now. But I really believe in this. Is, am I willing and open? I may not know what's on the unknown side of the journey. How could anybody know? We don't know what happens when we break out of that upper limit and we go into the unknown and we create a new version of our life. I love, again, biographies. I love listening to individuals who have led a very impactful life, because often you'll hear them say, this turned out better than they could have even imagined. This turned out even better than I could have ever imagined. I feel that way with my life right now. Even though I still have much more stuff that I want to do, all the goals and dreams that I had as a kid, and especially as a high school student, as I was thinking about my career, it's way better than I could have ever imagined. And I'm so grateful for the journey, because it's made me who I am, and I'm going to continue on that journey, and I have a lot more stuff that I want to do. You know, there's that classic Marianne Williamson quote, and I think it's worth reading. It's been shared a lot out there but it's nice as a reminder in the context of this conversation of being afraid of our own excellence. And I'll read it off to you here as we conclude this big idea. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we are unconsciously giving other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Even though I've heard that quote so many times, every time I read it or somebody's reading it, it's just such a powerful reminder. Such a powerful reminder, because it's true. It's so true. Who are you not to? Who are you not to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? If you have these talents and gifts, who are you not to put that out there into the world? And by the way, it's selfish to just keep it all for yourself. You know, the last thing that I want to conclude on over here is, first of all, if you've loved this episode, best thing you could do is share it with somebody. Share it with somebody who could really enjoy it or needs to hear this right now. So that would be huge. Last thing I want to say this is that, what's the reason we invest in our health? What's the reason that we talk about what foods to eat and what's the best diet for us? And, you know, what are the supplements that we want to have? And what's the reason that we go down this pathway? Well, the reason that we do all this stuff, we want to remember, because sometimes we can get a little lost in it. The reason that we invest in our health and our mental health is that when you feel good, you want to make the world a better place. You give love and attention to feeling good so that you can invest in what matters most. And that might be your family. That might be also your passion projects. That might be a business that you're starting. We want to feel good so that we can have the energy, the resilience, the strength, the mental equanimity to put that energy into doing something. And what is that something? It's whatever you feel called to do. It's whatever you feel called to do. And you probably have an idea. If you don't, you definitely have an idea. It's just maybe you've been scared to give it attention because one of these bogus reasons has been holding you back. We invest in our health so that we can give back to the world and put our talents and gifts out there and improve the lives of ourselves, our family, and those around us. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Again, if you want to share it with somebody who could use it, that'd be great. This has been 5 bogus reasons why we hide our talents and gifts from the world. Drew Perowitz signing off. Thank you again for joining me this week. I'll see you again next week.